We're going live today at 5 p.m. Eastern. I sure hope you have your private link to join. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40. I'm Becca Jacobson, and this is what we call a snippet. Snippet land! You've entered snippet land. Listen, if you're new around here, welcome, gals. I'm so glad you made it, because this is the place to be if you're over 40 and you want to do something with your life, but alcohol's got you, your knickers twisted a little bit. That's right. Your knickers are now twisted. I am here to untwist your knickers. I have no idea where that came from, but let's keep it. I like it. Gals, today is September 1st, and that means it is day one of the September Sobriety Sprint. Actually, the 7 day September Sobriety Sprint. I don't know why there are so many S's in my life, but there it is. Gals, I'm going to tell you more about the sprint at the end of this episode, but we're starting today in a few hours, depending, of course, on when you're getting this episode. So stick around. Meanwhile, it's Monday. Gals, it's Monday, which means we're going to continue our study of James Allen's 1903 book, As a Man Thinketh. If you're new around here, what is that all about? Briefly, we are looking at this book through the lens of living alcohol-free and how this amazing little book, over 100 years old, can help us live a better, sober, happier, healthier life. And trust me, he covers all areas of life. We chose this one because it's about thoughts and it's foundational. It influenced some of the biggest names in the 20th century on manifestation, on reality creation, on thinking our way into happiness or whatever you want to call it. This is one of the foundational books that influenced all of the big names, the ones that you yourself may be reading or listening to. It's an exciting area these days. People are very interested in reality creation. How do I manifest money? How do I manifest happiness? Well, I'm not here to teach you that, but this book is referred by all of the great writers. Okay, gals, last week we looked at the effects of thought on health and body. Wow, powerful stuff. In just over a page, that's the size of that little tiny section in the book, James just blew our minds with the effects of our thoughts on our health and our body. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, it'd be worthwhile to go back to last Monday. Also, if you don't have this book, it's a free download. It's also a free Audible, and it's less than 1 hour long. You know what I mean? There's really no excuse. Having said that, if you want to know how to apply it as a 40-plus woman struggling with alcohol, you're in the exact right place, and you don't have to have read it in order to get this snippet. Okay, so let's start. Today, we're looking at the section called Thought and Purpose, and I love this section because it is something that I want all my gals to have. All my gals. Now, if you haven't heard that phrase, who are my gals? Well, you are. You're hearing my voice. That means you're one of my gals. I'm also referring to women who are a little bit closer in my world. I have their email and I send them special gifts and information via email. And women even closer in my world who I talk to, women who do the sacred mirror, and my clients. But even those of you who just simply hear my voice, you are my gals. That's who you are. And I want you to have a purpose. And I believe I was thinking this and talking about this long before we got to James Allen. The reason I want you to have a purpose is partly your age. I mean, if you're retired, you definitely better have a purpose. Listen, gals, there's no excuses to retire and have no purpose. All you're going to do is shrivel up and die and become a shriveled up old woman. No, that's not it. That's not us. That's not who we are, gals. So a purpose is really important. And when I say that, I'm not talking about going back to college and getting a new career. I'm not talking about shattering the earth. Although if you want to, you can. It's up to you. But even the smallest purpose, I want to be healthier 30 days from now. Or 1 year from now, I'd like to be this weight. Or I'd like to be whatever it is. It doesn't have to be physical. I want to learn how to paint. I'm going to learn how to paint. I'm going to learn how to knit. Or I'm going to join this club and I'm going to help so-and-so. Or I'm going to volunteer. Whatever it is. A purpose other than heading towards the graveyard, because that we all have. It's automatically built in. Every moment of my life takes me closer to the graveyard, and yours too. But I think I want a little bit more than that to look forward to. Don't you? Yes, you do. So let's talk about thoughts and purpose from James Allen. because actually he says it so much better than I ever could. Here's a quote. "They who have no central purpose in their life fall an easy prey to petty worries, fears, troubles, and self-pityings, all of which are indications of weakness, and which lead just as surely as deliberately planned sins to failure, unhappiness, and loss. For weakness cannot persist in a power-evolving universe." Oh my God, that was a mouthful. Let's go back and look at this one sentence. He says, "Those who have no central purpose fall easy prey to worries, fears, troubles, and self-pityings." Well, yeah, right? If without a central purpose, what do we have to think about except kind of what the crap that we don't, you know, we worry, we get fearful, we think about our troubles, we end up in self-pity because we have no other purpose in life. We're just drifting with what I call, in other places here in Snippet Land, a flabby mind. But it's not just the mind now. I'm talking about a real purpose, although choosing how you're going to think is a purpose too. But this is more than that. He then says this will lead, once you're all embedded in worries and fears and troubles and self-pityings, where this is going to lead is to failure, unhappiness, and loss. That's essentially what that sentence said. It's going to lead you to failure, unhappiness, and loss. Why? Because, and here's the end of the quote, "weakness cannot persist in a power-evolving universe." Wow. Did you hear that? So if we are purposeless, we end up weak, and weakness cannot thrive in a universe that's power-evolving. What does that mean? The universe is evolving. Everything's moving up, up, up. Technology, society, all of it, not necessarily always in a good way, but it's moving. It's moving in a direction. It has a purpose, and it's power-evolving. There's nothing going to stop it. And if we're weak inside of that, we cannot thrive. Moving on, James says, and this is a quote, "A man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. He should make this purpose the centralizing point of his thoughts. It may take the form of a spiritual ideal, or it may be a worldly object, according to his nature at the time being. Whichever it is, he should focus steadily his thought forces upon the object he has set before him. He should make this purpose his supreme duty and should devote himself to its attainment, not allowing his thoughts to wander away into fancies, longings, and imaginings." Gals, why should we bother with this? Because it'll make us happy. I know, that's the main reason. It really will. I'm here to tell you it will. Most of the women that I meet who are wanting to come into sobriety, there's a lot of unhappiness there because there's been a lack of growth, of personal growth, of a lack of ownership. We just don't evolve the way we should when we just turn to alcohol. It's not a reflection of you as a human being. There's no judgment here. It includes me. It includes all of us. And it's just a nature of the beast. When we feel uncomfortable or anxious or tired or whatever it is, and we turn to alcohol instead of looking at it in any way managing or learning to live or whatever, when we turn to alcohol instead of any of those things, we don't grow the way we should. We don't evolve the way we could have. Now, I'm not saying we don't evolve at all. We don't grow at all, because that would be ridiculous. Many of us, we go to yoga in the afternoon and drink a bottle of wine at night, right? But it's not as clear and beautiful and clean and satisfying as it could be. And so this very difficult, very male-dominated sentence or two that I just read to you will make us happy. And I just want to remind you that James is writing over 100 years ago. He's talking about men and women. It just was a lot of he's in that sentence. So bear with me here. Or I guess I should say, let's bear with James. I'm going to continue on. He says this, and he confirms the purpose. The purpose of the purpose is happiness. I like that. What's the purpose of a purpose? Maybe that should be the title of this episode. What is the purpose of your purpose? Well, the purpose of your purpose, gals, is happiness. Everything else that comes with it, there will be other things. You'll accomplish more, you'll blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you'll be a happier woman, way more contented, way less likely to turn to alcohol. So let me continue here. James says, even if he fails again and again to accomplish his purpose, as he must until weakness is overcome, the strength of character gained will be the measure of his true success, and this will form a new starting point for future power and triumph. Gals, strength of character gained. And he mentions this again near the end of this section, and we will look at that. But that's it. What do we gain by doing this? Strength of character. And what does strength of character bring us? Happiness, contentment, peace of mind. Because when we have a strong character, we know how to step up in the world. It all revolves around our thoughts. We have a purpose, and we take our thoughts. Once we've decided on that purpose, our thoughts are moving in that direction. They're not aimless. Our mind is no longer flabby and weak, and we are thinking in a particular direction. But not only that, when we have a purpose, we get to hit milestones. We get to celebrate successes, regardless of the failures along the way, which there will be, as James himself points out, there will be failures along the way, but we get to wake up in the morning realizing, hey, I'm getting closer to my purpose. We track our purpose, we journal it, we share it with others, we grow, and then we celebrate. But without a purpose, we don't get to do any of that. So while we're building our character, yes, we're becoming more contented, yes, but we're actually having a reason to get out of bed in the morning, other than just the humdrum, the mundane, and the everyday that obviously is difficult, or we wouldn't be turning to wine. Moving on, James says this: to put away aimlessness and weakness and to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of the strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment, who make all conditions serve them, and who think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully. That's us. That's my gals. Let me read this last piece again. Those who put away aimlessness, this is not a quote, but here leading up to the quote, he says, basically, those who put away aimlessness and weakness and step into a purpose, quote, make all conditions serve them and think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully. Now, this is a big order. How do we do all this? How do we go from I'm drinking to, oh my God, now you want me doing this? Well, first of all, obviously, it would be something that you would work. If you haven't quit drinking yet, your first couple of months, you need the support you need. You need to be learning how to start not having to pick up a drink. So the first couple of months of sobriety is a very intentional personal development route that you want to take. One that I've designed for women over 40. There are other pathways, but you find a pathway and you take it. But whatever pathway you choose, it really should include, I hope it's including how we think. Everything we do in my program is about thinking. It's about mindset. It's about perspective, how we look at our lives. That's all part of our thoughts, right? So don't feel overwhelmed like, wow, that sounds pretty perfectionist, Becca. I mean, listen to that one more time. Here's what he says about people who do this. They think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully. Yes, we want that, but we won't have it tomorrow. Nonetheless, it could be our purpose. How's that for a purpose? At the end of this section, James warns us about the two enemies that will take us down, and he is not the only one. These are the same enemies that come up in all the other books on this subject. Do you know what they are? I talk about them here a lot. Doubt and fear. Doubt and fear are the only two enemies. The minute we start doubting our ability to do what we want, we're toast. The minute we step into fear, we're paralyzed. Here's what James says about it. Doubts and fears should be rigorously excluded. They are disintegrating elements which break up the straight line of effort, rendering it crooked, ineffectual, useless. Thoughts of doubt and fear can never accomplish anything. They always lead to failure. Purpose, energy, power to do, and all strong thoughts cease when doubt and fear creep in. So there we are going along. We've got our purpose. We're energy. We're feeling good. We're moving along. And suddenly doubt creeps in or fear. Bam, we're shut down. Have you ever noticed that? That's when the nervous system has gone into fight or flight, right? We're all of a sudden paralyzed by fear and doubt. Now here's the advice that James gives us when this happens. The will to do springs from the knowledge that we can do. Doubt and fear are the great enemies of knowledge, and he who encourages them, he who does not slay them, thwarts himself at every step. In other words, we must slay doubts and fears, but how? Continuing on, he who has conquered doubt and fear has conquered failure. His every thought is allied with power, and all difficulties are bravely met and overcome. So how do we overcome doubt and fear? Well, James doesn't give us a recipe in this section, but it's one of the biggest things that I help women do, because that's why we drink, fear especially. But when we doubt our own ability, there's almost no way out of it without support. That's one of the reasons we want an accountability group. We want to be doing our sobriety with others, because doubt will creep in. And the only remedy I know for doubt is an external voice. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're doubting. Remember what you said last week, or here's this, or here's that. You need an external voice that isn't frozen with fear or overwhelmed with doubts. And that person is who? Your sober coach, your sober group, your accountability pod. That's what I call it. Doubt cannot get us as long as we're willing to share, gals. But if we pull in and we try to do this alone, doubt will win that battle, and fear will come in and support doubt, and then you're completely paralyzed from two different angles. First we doubt, then we're afraid, and then we're completely paralyzed. And according to James and many other wise thinkers, doubt and fear are the greatest enemies of knowledge. James ends this beautiful section with this: thought allied fearlessly to purpose becomes creative force. He who knows this is ready to become something higher and stronger than a bundle of wavering thoughts and fluctuating sensations. He who does this has become the conscious and intelligent wielder of his mental powers. Gals, we are mental power. That's what we are. The power we have in our mind is greater than any of us will ever know to the day we die, including me. We know it's powerful. We believe it's powerful, but we always underestimate it. The human mind can do anything. And to not use it to do the simplest, smallest things is a real shame. So we want to be working on mindset. We want to be working on our thoughts. We want to understand this power. And that's not going to happen overnight. But I'm really honored that we get to study this a little bit together and hopefully encourage you to recognize the power of taking control of your thoughts methodically with the support you need, so that you're not running around in a circle being attacked by doubts and fears and the many other things that make us freeze in anxiety. Gals, today is September 1st. That's right, it is. And you know what that means? Today is day one of my 7-day September sobriety sprint. If you haven't signed up, what are you waiting for? If you're getting this snippet early in the day, it means we haven't even started, because on September 1st, today, I am starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm going live at 5 p.m. Eastern only for those of you who have signed up to do the September Sobriety Sprint. We're getting together. I'm going live and I'm going to walk you through a lot of the stuff we're talking about right here, right now on the snippets. We're going to do it over 7 days. I'm giving you daily micro homework. You're going to be sharing with other women so that you can't be assailed by doubts and fears. Gals, that link is in the show notes of this episode. If I don't know you're coming, I can't send you how to get in. So tap that link and join us today. It's the perfect moment to start your sober journey before the holiday season begins. And the next thing you know, you're doing a New Year's resolution. Let's do it now. I'll see you there at 5 p.m. Eastern today. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.